Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, and the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Social Security when we come back. You know, the income tax and Social Security programs are not compatible with our traditional American values, and that's because these two programs are the second and the eighth planks of the Communist Manifesto. And these programs call for a heavy progressive income tax in place of tithing. And Social Security is a social welfare scheme that takes the place of strict liability and individual responsibility. This income tax requires of us that we serve two masters in violation of Matthew 6, verse 24. The income tax requires of us that we rob God in violation of Malachi 3, verse 8. The income tax requires of us that we commit idolatry in violation of Exodus 20, verse 3. The income tax requires of us that we use unjust weights and balances in violation of Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. And the income tax requires that we sign contracts with foreign and alien gods in violation of Exodus 23, verses 32 and 33. Social Security violates the strict liability statute in Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36. And Social Security violates the 10th commandment by appealing to our lust and greed. And then we're taught to call that income redistribution. But the scripture calls it covetousness and theft in violation of Exodus 20, verses 15 and 17. Now, you know, the God of Israel gave us a better way of life than that, and our founding fathers followed that better way. And that's why I contend that you and I ought to learn how to practice a better way of life than Social Security and income tax. Now, if you'd like more information about tax and Social Security, why don't you call the law school at area code 417-273-4967, and be sure to ask for that free general law CD package. That's a 4-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. That number to call, 417-273-4967. Tax and Status is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, why don't you go to the website georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send an email request for that free general law CD package. georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we've been talking about Social Security this week, and I said last time we'd take a look and I'd show you what the scripture has to say about Social Security. God is not silent about Social Security or social issues, economic and financial issues, moral issues, and legal issues. You know, like thou shalt do no murder. That's a legal issue. We've got that right in our statutes. Every state in the union, every country in the world prevents, has statutes against, prohibits murder. It's against the law. Well, God isn't silent when it comes to social issues either. For instance, he tells us that a man that doesn't work shouldn't eat. And he tells us to go to the ant, you sluggard, and learn of her ways. A man that doesn't care for his own family or provide for his own family is worse than an infidel. Now, there's just three examples from the scripture of what God thinks about taking care of your financial worries, taking care of your family, getting out and working. Franklin Roosevelt came along and said, well, you know, a man that works for his whole life and then ends up at the end of life and he's broke and poor and he's in poverty should be taken care of. And do you know that's true? Roosevelt was telling the truth. He should be taken care of. What Roosevelt suggested, though, was that the government take care of him. And God had a different plan in mind. It's called the family, the patriarchal family. And if you get to a place in life and you can't take care of yourself, we've got a boy here that's got epilepsy, and he can't take care of himself in the conventional sense. That is, he can't work out here in the normal world. He works here in the law school. He doesn't have a problem here at home. But he has a problem out in the real world because he's handicapped. It's like being blind, you know. It's like being deaf. You know, you've got a disability. You get to be old. You know, you're 85 years old and you can't work anymore. You have to be taken care of. And that's what children are for. Children used to take care of their parents. Now, because of our greed, because of our lust, because of our refusal, I guess, I was going to say inability, I guess we could if we wanted to, but our refusal to obey God and keep His commandments, we put our parents into rest homes. We let the government take care of them. Because the government is God. And we want the government to provide for us. And that's why God told us, the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. That's idolatry. And going to the United States to have the United States take care of us in our old age is idolatry. There's a system set up by the God of Abraham, which is called the patriarchal family. That's why we have an inheritance law. A righteous man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Shouldn't those children's children, grandchildren, and children take care of that old man that left that inheritance? And why is it that you got to your old age and you didn't have an inheritance? Why didn't you have? Why is it that you didn't save to provide for your old age and to provide an inheritance for the next generation? Well, people today can't. The government takes it all. The government now takes half of everything that you produce. And that's if you're just average. It could be up as high as 74%. I've mentioned that a time or two, that there's 14 taxes, and depending upon what your income level is and what your taxes are, you could be paying up to 3/4. And Franklin Roosevelt, during his tenure in office, raised the income tax to 91%. You make $100,000, the government takes $910,000 and leaves you with $90,000. That's confiscation on a scale unimagined throughout history until modern times, with the implementation of the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, which have taken the place of the 10 commandments. And we bring it on ourselves because we make contracts with foreign and alien gods. Now let me show you a little something here about making contracts. Let me introduce you to a guy named Michael the Archangel. Michael the Archangel is one of three of these archangels. There's Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. And Michael is the chief operations officer representing the government of God on planet Earth. And he's best described in Exodus 23, verses 20 through 24. So before I give you the statutes, let me introduce you to Big Mike. In verse 20 it says, "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place that I have prepared. Now beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions because my name is in him. But if you will indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto your enemies and an adversary unto your adversaries. Because my angel shall go before you and bring you in unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and I'll cut them off. Now you shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but you shall totally overthrow them and quite break down their images." Notice this, verse 24, "You shall not bow down to their gods." He says, "For my angel shall go before you and bring you in under the IRS, the EPA, the State Tax Commission, all the rest of these bureaucrats and parasites, and I'll cut them off. Don't bow down to these bureaucrats and parasites, nor serve them, nor do after their works." Well, now, we Americans have a little different take on that. We're sitting here saying, well, I'm going to get my share. I'm going to get my cut of the goodies. My dad was like that. He'd been paying into Social Security and these various welfare schemes. So before he died, he says, I'm going to get mine back. Philosophically, the Gordons were opposed to Social Security and the income tax, but we went along with it when the law was enacted. So the Gordons didn't resist unto death. We resisted philosophically, and then when they enacted the law, well, it's the law, so we have to do it. Well, I took a look at that sordid behavior, and I said to myself, You know, if it's evil, then we ought not to participate in it. If Social Security is evil, then we ought not to do it. If the income tax is evil, we ought not to do it. Not because we want more beer money on Friday night, but because it violates the law of God. And if it violates the law of God, we ought to stop doing it. Now, if you're out practicing adultery and one day you wake up, you know, you get a conversion and you say, well, you know, this adultery isn't very good. Flo's whorehouse is bad for me. I think I'll stop doing it. Well, it's a step in the right direction. You're going to practice a law that says thou shalt not commit adultery. How about the law that says you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag? Have you ever seen that? It's in Deuteronomy 25 verses 13 through 16. God says, don't deal in unjust weights and balances. If unjust weights and balances are wrong, then fiat currency is wrong. Paper money is wrong. So are mortgages, stocks, bonds, and negotiable instruments. And indeed, those are the things that are being taxed. Those are the things that create income. So you're complaining about the income tax, but you're out here participating in the very events, the very subject matters for which the income tax attaches. It's like going to a whorehouse and complaining about getting VD. You know, if you wouldn't go to the whorehouse, you wouldn't get VD. If you wouldn't deal in stocks and bonds, you wouldn't have income. Now, this guy, Big Mike, is God's chief enforcer. He's the one that God calls upon to execute sentence for transgressions of the law. He's also not known for his mercy. This guy, Big Mike, he didn't have any mercy. That's not his forte in life, as shown by this treatment of the Israelites in Judges 2, verses 1 through 23. An angel of the Eternal came up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and I brought you into the land that I swore unto your fathers, and I said, I'll never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Now, why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. It came to pass, when the angel of the Eternal spoke all these words unto the children of Israel, the people lifted up their voice, and they wept. Here's what their problem was. They came into the land, and they made treaties, just like we did with the Indians here in North America. We came into the land, and we made treaties with these pagans in the land. We were told not to do that. Don't make any league. And we said, oh, God doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't understand foreign affairs and diplomacy. You know, God's is a dunderhead. He's a dope. He's a dunce. He doesn't know. He doesn't understand the real world out here. You know, he's a religious guy with a long beard and long flowing hair, and he's just dumb as a box of rocks, and, you know, thank God that there's people like us to come along here and correct his mistakes. Now, when God told us not to make any league with the inhabitants of the land, he wasn't whistling Dixie through a straw hat. So we Americans, we came over here, we made treaties, 374 Indian treaties with all these various and sundry Indian tribes. They have been a snare to us, and they have been a thorn in our sides from that day to this. And up in Idaho, you know, you people up there in Idaho are now paying the Nez Perce Indians for that water that you contracted with them with that Indian treaty back in 1874, remember? And you're sitting up there saying, well, I didn't contract with them. Well, your great-great-granddaddy did, didn't he? And bound you to the terms and conditions of the contract. And do you think God knew what he was talking about when he said, don't make any contracts? Now take a look at us in modern times. We got the GATT and the NAFTA contracts. You know those treaties? Remember that? GATT, NAFTA? How do you like exporting, what is it now, 3 million jobs to India and Bangladesh and the Philippines and Indonesia? How do you like outsourcing your job to China? You know, when God told you to stay off that, those deal-making processes, you know, called treaties, you know, he wasn't whistling Dixie through a straw hat. Knew what he was talking about. Now, I don't want to get in the way of your happiness and success. If you want more free trade and more deals and more treaties, you know, they got a CAFTA, CAFTA treaty coming up. Why don't you write a letter to your senator and tell him, hey, vote for that. Hey, we need another treaty. We don't have enough. You know, NATO and CETO and NAFTA and GATT. Hey, we need more treaties. We need more contracts and more deals with more of these pagan nations around us over here. And while you're at it, why don't you throw the Bible out of your public school and take the Ten Commandments out as well? Just thought I'd rub your nose in it a little bit, boys and girls, because there's a recovery process here, you know. At any time that you want to quit, you know, you can. Get your nose bloodied enough, you know, you can quit. But there's more to the story than that. A little bit more to the story. This guy, Big Mike, over here, also had something to say about and has something to do with your contracts that you make with the IRS, Social Security, the Driver's License Bureau, Marriage License, Birth Certificates, and all the rest of it. You know, each and every time that you break one of these laws, there's a penalty to pay. I mentioned this a little earlier in this series. You know, you go into the hospital, girls, and you have a baby, and then you sign that birth registration over there. You give the child to the state. Now, when you got the marriage license, you created a three-party limited general partnership between the boy, the girl, and the state. I don't know why you people want the state in your bedroom, but for some reason you thought it was a good idea. Maybe it's a little kinky, huh? You like kinky sex? You like the state in your bedroom? And then the state has a one-third interest in the child, and then the boy and the girl sign a birth certificate and give the state 100% interest in the child. That's called passing your seed through the fire to Moloch. That's a violation of Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 5. It's not murder, but it's a capital felony. And so people commit these kinds of capital felonies, like passing their seed through the fire to Moloch and Sabbath breaking, you know? Practice witchcraft, you know, on Halloween. Boy, did these religious people get upset and excited, you know, when you use a naughty word, you know, like kiss my ass. God, I get letters in here, you know, and they say, oh, that guy Gordon uses bad words. Can you tell me what the penalty is for kiss my ass? Because I can tell you what the penalty is for Sabbath breaking. It's death. I can tell you what the penalty is for that birth certificate. It's death. The penalty for using bad words, boys and girls, isn't death. And that's because it's not against the law and there isn't any penalty. So I'm not breaking any law. But boy, people get real religious, don't they? They get real excited about what they perceive to be righteous or righteousness. Now, there's a couple of three places in the Bible that tell you not to deal, not to make contracts with these foreign and alien gods. Take a look at a couple of them, just for funsies. If you got a Bible, why don't you flip it open here and I'll show you. Many of you people probably have a Bible laying around someplace. Turn over to the book of Exodus, chapter 23. We're just in Exodus 23. And then the last two verses in there tell you something here about making contracts. It says, you shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you to sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it'll surely be a snare to you. That's what we Americans did here in North America. You Australians and New Zealanders did the same thing down there. Now, God gave you that piece of real estate, and he said, now drive these people out of here. We said, now we're going to make treaties and contracts with them and enslave them. And so we did. We did. And so we've made marriages with the Indians here in North America. And he told us, make no covenants with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you to sin against me. And so he told us over here not to worship their gods. And so we build these public parks, and we stick these totem poles up and these religious objects and obelisks over here. We learned it from the Indians, didn't we? And we practice that. Now, he told us not to do that. Now, there's a place for those Indians, and it's called Mexico. And then we came in here, and we stole about half that land from Mexico. So those Indians down in Mexico, they're not too happy with us. We went over to Hawaii, and we stole that piece of real estate from the Hawaiians. They're not too happy with us. And if you're going to go out here and steal people's land, and you want to be the master, then you got to stay the master. Because if you ever let your servants, your slaves, become masters, they'll destroy you. And that's where Americans are today. And today, boys and girls, 68% of Americans are white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, WASPs, they call them. In 1960, 90% of us were white Anglo-Saxon WASPs, and we were told not to bring any of those people in here into our land, not to make covenants and contracts with them, not to worship their gods, not to learn their religious ideologies. Today, we invite people in from all over the world with all of their religions, all of their ideologies, all of their paganism, and we love it. Well, okay, but there's a side effect that comes from that. Side effect that comes from it. You bring those 7 million Muslims into the United States, and it's like bringing in the Trojan horse. Trojan horse. You got a Trojan horse right here in your land, 7 million Muslims. And then you go over there to Iraq, and you start stealing their oil. Come on, guys. Stealing their oil is one thing, but bringing this Trojan horse in and then going over and stealing their oil doesn't make any sense. Going down here and stealing all this Mexican land and then coming in here and saying, well, let's let these Mexicans come in here because they're cheap labor. I mean, you know, you got 30 million of them down here in the southwestern United States. Neil, what do you think those Mexicans are going to do when they're in the majority like they are in California and Texas? Did you know that? Did you know that, boys and girls? Whites in California and Texas, two of the biggest states in the Union, are now a minority in those states. Now, God warned you about that, and he said, don't make covenants and contracts with these foreigners and aliens around you. And we said, oh, God, you don't know what you're talking about. Then we go out here and we make these trade treaties like NAFTA and GATT. On a national level, but on a personal level, we're out here making driver's licenses, birth certificates, marriage licenses, business licenses, social security contracts. I mean, if there's any kind of a deal that you can make with a government agency, you know, like welfare and food stamps and unemployment insurance, I mean, my God, you know, just the list goes on. There's 108 of them. If there's any way that you can make a deal with these government agencies over here, Americans are lined up. You know, let me get in on my share. You know, let me get mine while the getting's good. Turn over here to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. Yeah, maybe it's Exodus 33. Nah, maybe it's Exodus 34. Yep. Exodus 34, verses 10 through 17. Here's another example. Here's another statute where our God told us, don't make any deals with these people around you. The only deal that was ever authorized was the deal that we made out at Mount Sinai called the Old Covenant. God told us, you know, you practice my laws, you do things my way, and I'm going to give you these benefits. I'll show you what we were promised. I'll show you what your benefits are when you practice this. But let's take a look at what he told us not to do. Exodus 34, verse 10. He said, behold, I make a covenant before all of the people, and I'll do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which you are will see the work of the Eternal, because it's a terrible thing that I will do with you. Observe thou that which I command you this day, and behold, I drive out before you the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. I'll throw all these out of here. You know, in modern times, it was I'll throw out the Navajos and the Apaches and the Wachitas and the... I'll throw all these Indian tribes out. He said, don't make any covenants and contracts with them. And we said, no, God, you don't understand diplomacy. Yeah, I think God understands diplomacy. That's why I told you not to do it. We got a diplomatic corner running around the world. They're trying to deal with the United Nations. You know, we joined the United Nations back in 1945. Can you tell me one good thing the United States has ever, United Nations has ever done for the United States? We pay, I think it's about, it's half or two-thirds of the budget of the United Nations. And they've always voted against us. You know, if you want to join these groups and organizations, you can't have God on your team at the same time, because God isn't going to put up with it. He says, hey, you want to join the United Nations, get after it, and I'll just butt out. And you can read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 8. He told you, 1 Samuel chapter 8, he says, hey, listen, you want a king? I'll butt out. You want George Bush? Hey, well, you can have George Bush, but then don't cry out to me, because I won't hear you. He says, take heed to yourself here in verse 12, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you go, lest it be for a snare in the midst of you. But you shall destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves. For you shall worship no other god, for the Eternal, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous god. Hey, this God that we serve here, you know this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all you Christians claim to follow? You don't, but you claim to. He says he's a jealous God. He said, don't mess with me. I don't like this concept of you making deals over here with Naft and Gat. You just trade with me and do my thing. He says, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go whoring after their gods and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call upon you and you eat of his sacrifice. So we Americans over here are doing yoga, and we practice Buddhism, Mohammedanism, and you know, Muslims. Yeah, we just can't wait to get into all these other foreign and alien religions, test them out and try them over here. Isn't that about the way it is? And he says, if you take of their daughters unto your sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make your sons to go a-whoring after their gods, you shall make you no molten gods. Called idolatry. It tells us, no, don't practice that idolatry. Now, there's four of those statutes in the scriptures. Four of them. I just read to you a couple of them. I won't bore you. Make you mad, but that's the law. And we said, no, we're not going to do that. Well, okay. So, the side effect of that is you get free trade. The side effect of that is that you get your jobs sent to China. The side effect of that is that your national industries, you know, like your textile industry. You know, we used to have millions of people make our clothes here in the United States. Today, those millions of people are unemployed and out of work, and our textile industry jobs are in China and Indonesia and the Philippines and some other place, Bangladesh. Every time I pick up a shirt, I see that it's made in China, Bangladesh, or some other foreign country, as if we Americans couldn't make clothes. Our shoe industry has been exported. It's overseas. Our steel industry is exported overseas. Our shipbuilding industry. You wonder why it is that Americans are unemployed. Well, you wonder why it is that 80% of Americans are working in service jobs. 80% of our women are working in the marketplace, and we're working in service jobs, flipping burgers and working with computers. It's because we took our manufacturing industry, which used to employ 32% of us. Now it's 13% of us employed in manufacturing, headed to zero. And that's the penalty that we pay. That's the side effect that we get for making these covenants and treaties with these foreign and alien nations around us in opposition to what God told us. And that's the bottom line. And Social Security is a contract that you make with a foreign and an alien god. It's an act of idolatry. It's an act of treason against the God of Abraham. And except for 14 million Americans, and how many does that leave? I think there's about 290 million of us now. Take 290 million, and then you take, what is it, about 14 away from that. 275 million Americans, in round numbers, practice that form of idolatry. 14 million don't. There's a few Amish and Mennonites and a few religious kooks and crackpots out there that don't practice Social Security. And there was a time in America when there was a little debate about it. When Social Security came up in 1935, a lot of independent preachers and ministers and Christians, you know, said, hey, wait a minute, this sounds like the mark of the beast. This sounds like Revelation 13:16 to us. We think we ought to stay out of this. But it was more than most Americans could handle. It was something for nothing. Well, Russell Harvey was philosophically opposed to Social Security. He was opposed to paper money. He was opposed to the income tax. But in 1954, Congress, with their taxing power, he included all the farmers into Social Security. So, okay, now you farmers, you independent people out there, you got to join Social Security too. So Russell Harvey, being a good dutiful feudal serf, you know, a good dutiful American citizen, he joined Social Security, and it really worked out great for him. He paid into it for 2 years, 54, 55. Then in 56, he retired, and from 56 to 67, when he died, he drew the benefits out. He told me after, you know, a few years, he'd only paid in a few hundred dollars. You know, in 56, he was only paying in, you know, $150 a year. So he paid in $300 and took out thousands. It was a hell of a deal. Hard to resist that. You're going to pay in hundreds and draw out thousands. That's what sucked Americans into Social Security. That's what made it the third rail. Today, you young people out there, some of you are starting to count. You're starting to see how much money the government's taking from you. You'll never get it back. You're not going to get all of it back. You'll get some of it. You're not going to get all of it. In fact, they're going to, if you're in the middle range, that is, you're making $20 an hour and you're an electrician, carpenter, plumber, you know, tradesman, making $20, you're paying in about $6,000 a year. Just multiply that times 40 or 45 years, that's, you know, you're going to pay in $250,000. And you're going to get $100,000 of it back. For every $2.73 you pay in, you get a dollar back. They're going to charge you $1.73 to give you back a dollar. Now that's what you get when you sign up for Social Security. That's what you get when you violate the law of God, when you practice idolatry. Now, I didn't make it that way. I'm just reporting on it. That's the way that game is played. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here. So let me give you our reminder at the halfway point here, and we'll be back with more on Social Security. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that's open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. Now, for more information, go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. And remember that the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of the network or of this radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to the website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. That's because it's too controversial. You can't talk about things like this in a normal radio program. Scares the hell out of the advertisers. So, oh, my God, that crazy lunatic over there is going to cost us customers. All right, there are 33 articulable benefits that you get for practicing the law of God. Let me just run over them quickly for you, because in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, and then a couple odd statutes here and there, God tells us, you know, if you'll practice my laws, here's what I'm going to do for you. Practice my laws, and I'm going to give you these benefits. You don't practice my laws, then I'm going to do something bad, wicked, terrible, awful, and evil against you. For example, in Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13, 14, along in there, he says, if you'll practice the Sabbath day, if you will turn your foot away from my holy Sabbath and practice my Sabbath day, I will make you to inherit the heritage of your father Jacob. Now Jacob, you know, our great-great-granddaddy Jacob, he was filthy rich. We Israelites come from very wealthy roots. Very wealthy people. And he said, I'll make sure, I'll pour you out a blessing. There won't be room enough to receive it. In Malachi 3, verse 8, he says, you pay me my tithe now. Forget this income tax crap. Get off this Social Security. You pay me my tithe. And I'll pour you out a blessing. There won't be room enough to receive it. You'll have so damn much stuff laying around over here, it'll be under your feet half the time. I got that problem. I got all this stuff laying around here. You students out there, you been here to school? See all that stuff? Well, that's what happens when you deal in property. It's just kind of natural. You get all this stuff. But he goes on to say here in Leviticus 26, verse 4, he says, I'm going to give you rain in due season. I'm going to make the land yield or increase. The trees of your field shall yield their fruit. Your stores of goods shall not run out. There will be no famine or shortages. You will dwell in your land safely. I'll give you peace in the land. I will rid evil beasts from the land. I had a pause here. I will rid evil beasts out of your land. And so now you got the government, that is the United States government, you know, with all of your biological resource officers out here, replacing all these evil beasts. They're putting your mountain lions and bears and wolves back out on the land, which is all right for all you people living in Miami. But those of us that live out here on the land, you know, we really don't care too much for those panthers and wolves. And just thought I'd let you know that. So here's a benefit. God said, I'll rid these evil beasts from your land. And the United States government says, I'll put them all back. He says, you'll have no war in your land. We haven't had any war in this country since 1812. You shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. You know, every time we go to war, we've been victorious. Well, except for a couple of more recent wars. God said, I'll have respect to you. I'll make you fruitful and multiply you. I will establish my covenant with you, and I'll set my tabernacle among you. My soul shall not abhor you. I'll be your God, and you be my people. I'll be your God, you be my people. Now, that's a guardian word relationship. That's a governmental institution. We said, oh, no, we don't want this God ruling over us. We don't want to practice thou shalt not commit adultery. We want to practice from each according to his ability and to each according to his needs so that we can retire on Social Security and let other people support us. That's what we want to do. God went on to say, he says, you will be set above all the nations on earth. You shall be blessed in the city. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. You know, 5% of children born in the United States have birth defects. There shouldn't be any, but, you know, 5% now, and it's getting worse. He said, blessed shall be the fruit of your cattle. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. You'll be blessed in everything that you do. It's the Midas touch. The Midas touch. You touch it, it turns to gold. That's where this concept comes from, Deuteronomy 28:8. You'll be blessed in everything that you do. You'll be a holy people to God. All the people of the earth will be afraid of you. Now, that used to be the truth, but, you know, not today. People of the world, you know, they hate us. And they're just sitting there relishing the day when America falls. Of course, that's the penalty you pay, I guess, for being top dog. In Deuteronomy 28:12, he says, you shall lend but not borrow. Boy, that's not true. We're the world's number one debtor nation today. We used to be the world's number one creditor nation. We used to lend but not borrow. Today, we borrow. We don't lend. He said, you shall be the head and not the tail in everything that you do. I'll take sickness away from you. Boy, that's no longer true. We're the nation. We're the world's sickest nation. Sick. I've mentioned this a time or two. In 1918, 60% of us were symptom-free. Today, only 1% of us are symptom-free. 99% of us have symptoms of some disease. He said, 70 years, all of your days will be fulfilled. You're entitled, boys and girls, to 25,550 days. No sickness. And a life expectancy of 70 years, 80 if you're strong, and disease-free. Hey, we don't have that here in this country. He says, you'll inherit the land. Oh, no, not in this country. We pay property tax on the land. We rent the land from the government. And if we don't pay that rent, they'll throw us off of it. You shall gain great wealth, multiplied gold and silver and herds and flocks, and you'll be set on high above all nations. Now, that's your 33 articulable benefits. You're entitled to this. Under contract, by law, from our God, the God of Abraham. And we said, no, we don't want that. And we turned our backs on this like the prodigal son said, no, what we're going to do, we're going to practice a different program over here. We're going to have, we're going to cut a fat hog in the back with our fiat currency and stocks and bonds and Social Security. And that's the results of Social Security, the contract. Now it takes one-third, 16% for Social Security and 17% for the income tax. Now, I want to point out that this was a program that was designed this way. It was designed this way back in 1884. It's called the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Protocols of the Learned Elders. Let me run through some of these over here, and you'll see, I think, as we read through these protocols, I just selected 10 or 15 of them over here, that this program to destroy the United States of America and Western civilization, merge it into a new world order, this one world government, is a program that has been going on. It's the penalty that we pay for the violation of these laws. The penalty that we pay. So don't get mad at the Jews now. Don't get mad at the communists. Don't get mad at the Republicans, the Democrats, the Nazis, the fascists, and all of these political entities. It's God Almighty Himself that's doing this to us. He's just using the Jews and the Republicans and the Democrats and the socialists and the communists to do it to us. And in reality, we're doing it to ourselves. That's the tragic part. We're doing it to ourselves. But here's the program. To each act of opposition, we must be in a position to respond by bringing on war through the neighbors of any country that dares to oppose us. And if these neighbors should plan to stand collectively against us, we must let loose a world war. Now, we've had two of these world wars, and we're headed for a third. So, here comes the protocols. Here comes the Learned Elders of Zion, the aristocrats, the committee of 300 people of 1884. And it says, let's work out a program over here, and let's follow this plan. Let's work out a plan, and let's see if we can execute it. Let's see if we can bring about world government. It's called the Great Tribulation in the Scripture. We're headed for world government. We're headed for Great Tribulation. The Messiah said in Matthew 24 that there's never been a time like it. He says it's going to be worse than Noah's flood. And I don't know how you can figure it'd be worse than Noah's flood, but you know, Jesus himself said it. So whatever it is, Noah's flood would have been better. Perhaps because you died in Noah's flood. In this program over here, you might not die, you might just wish you were dead. 10th protocol says, people of all opinions and all doctrines are at our service. Restorers of monarchy, demagogues, socialists, communists, and other utopians. We've put them all to work. Every one of them, from his point of view, is undermining the last remnant of authority. He is trying to overthrow all existing order. All the governments have been tormented by these actions, but we will not give them peace until they recognize our super government. That's the 9th protocol. 10th protocol says, when we introduce the poison of liberalism into government, the governmental organism, its entire political complexion changed. Liberalism in government. Fiat currency, social security, aid to families with dependent children, all these social programs. 9th protocol says, in order not to destroy prematurely the Gentile institutions, we've laid our efficient hands upon them and rasped the springs of their mechanism. They were formerly in strict and just order, but we have replaced them with a liberal, disorganized, and arbitrary administration. We have tampered with jurisprudence, the franchise, the press, freedom of the person, and most important of all, education and culture, the cornerstone of free existence. And we have misled, stupefied, and demoralized the youth of the Gentiles by means of education in principles and theories patently false to us, but which we have inspired. Now here comes that dumbing down of America that you hear so much about. And above existing laws without actual change, but by distorting them through contradictory interpretations, we have created something stupendous in the way of results. You know, we have interpreted our Constitution in so many different ways that are the exact antithesis of what our founding fathers intended. Like Article 1, Section 10 says, no state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt. And we created a Federal Reserve System, and now we're drowning in fiat paper money. It just goes on and on. That's just one example of many. Hey, these boys knew what they were talking about back in 1884, and they put this plan into operation with the express purpose of destroying Western Christian civilization. And they have succeeded beyond their wildest expectations. and in the forefront of this destruction of Western civilization is you and me, brother. We're the guys that went down here and signed contracts with Social Security and the IRS and the business, you know, the Secretary of State so that we could open a corporation. We're the ones that have done it to ourselves. And don't say now we weren't told, we weren't warned. No, God told us. Now, if you didn't read it, well, that's your problem. It's already happened, past tense, so you don't need to look forward to this. You know, when we're talking about America will be the world's greatest, or was the world's greatest creditor nation, it's no longer true. We're the world's number one debtor nation now. We did it to ourselves. God told us that's exactly what He's going to do to us. And He's going to use us in our vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear to punish us. I would say that it's about time for us, like the prodigal son, to say, you know, maybe the old man wasn't as bad as we thought he was. Maybe we ought to go home and shut up for a change and start practicing the Ten Commandments and take this 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto and kick it out, and let's see if we can't do something more intelligent. Listen to the land here. Sixth protocol. Here's the way we're going to deal with land and money. We shall soon begin to establish huge monopolies. This is the sixth protocol of the Learned Elders of Zion, 1884. We shall soon begin to establish huge monopolies, colossal reservoirs of wealth, upon which even the big Gentile properties will be dependent to such an extent that they will all fall together with the government credit on the day following the political catastrophe. We haven't got to the political catastrophe. Whatever that is, it's coming up. The economists here present must carefully weigh the significance of this combination. We must develop by every means the importance of our supergovernment, representing it as the protector and benefactor of all who voluntarily submit to us. The aristocracy of the Gentiles as a political force has passed away. We need not take them into consideration. But as owners of the land, they are harmful to us in that they are independent in their sources of livelihood. Therefore, at all costs, we must deprive them of their land. And the best means to attain this is to increase the taxes and mortgage indebtedness. These measures will keep land ownership in a state of unconditional subordination. Unable to satisfy their needs by small inheritances, the aristocrats among the Gentiles will burn themselves out rapidly. George Bush started the process off in 2001, when he took office. They lowered the interest rate to combat the inflation, recession. Remember that? And as interest rates went down, all of you people ran out there and you refinanced your houses. Do you remember that? Refinanced your houses and took the cash out and bought an SUV. Do you remember that? And what's the best way to deprive you of your land? It's to keep the land in a state of unconditional subordination by raising the taxes. Have you people noticed that your property taxes continually escalate? And the mortgage indebtedness is at the peak, isn't it? At the top of the housing bubble, just before the political catastrophe. Hey, boys and girls, I don't think this is the best place to be now, do you? At the same time, it is necessary to encourage trade and industry vigorously, and especially speculation, and function. The function of which is to act as a counterpoise to industry. Without speculation, industry will cause private capital to increase and tend to improve the condition of agriculture by freeing the land from indebtedness for loans by the land banks. It is necessary for industry to deplete the land both of laborers and capital, and through speculations transfer all of the money of the world into our hands, thereby throwing the Gentiles into the ranks of the proletariat. The Gentiles will then bow before us to obtain the right to existence. Let me show you what's happened here. Notice they tell us that they want to encourage trade and industry vigorously, and especially speculation, that's stocks and bonds, the function of which is to act as a counterpoise to industry, because without speculation, industry will cause private capital to increase. We don't want private capital to increase. We want you people to be impoverished. It would tend to improve the condition of agriculture by freeing the land from indebtedness for loans by the land banks. Yeah, we don't want you farmers out of debt. We want you in debt. It's necessary for industry to deplete the land both of laborers and capital. Take a look at America today. The people have been moved to the cities. 3% of the American population live on the land. 97% have been removed to the cities. Nearly half of us, 44%, lived on the land in 1920. So from 1920 to 2000, we moved that 44% into the cities and depleted the land of its laborers and put them to work so that they would be dependent, not independent, but dependent upon employment and government. And that's what your president told you. He said, what Americans want are jobs, jobs, jobs. You don't want land. You don't want property. You don't want to be debt-free. You want jobs, 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 and credit cards, and debt, and usury, and interest, and stocks, and bonds, and speculation, and fiat currency. All right, boys and girls, that's what we've got. That's what we wanted. That's what we've got. Now watch it come back and bite us in the ass. Here's the sixth protocol. We'll force up wages, which, however, will be of no benefit to workers, for at the same time we will cause a rise in the prices of prime necessities, pretending that this is due to a decline of agriculture and of cattle raising. We'll also artfully and deeply undermine the sources of production by instilling in the workmen ideas of anarchy and encourage them in the use of alcohol, at the same time taking measures to drive all of the intellectual forces of the Gentiles from the land. Hey, listen, drugs are better than alcohol. And then they've done just exactly what they said they were going to do in 1884. Tenth protocol, to wear everyone out by dissensions, animosities, feuds, famine, inoculation of diseases. Why, we inoculate 35 inoculations by age 5. So many now that we have autism on the scenes. Never heard of autism 20, 30 years ago, but now you have. Autism. And want until the Gentiles see no other way of escape except an appeal to our money and power. Go to the bank and make another loan, huh? It's for this reason that we must undermine faith and eradicate from the minds of the Gentiles the very principles of God and soul and replace these conceptions by mathematical calculations and material desires. They give us bread and circuses. They take the Ten Commandments in the Bible and throw them out of public school and replace it with evolutionary philosophy and driver's license and all of these phony baloney courses that you take in school that don't amount to a row of pins. And then the fifth protocol, we'll so wear out and exhaust the Gentiles by all of this that they will be compelled to offer us an international authority. We call that the United Nations, which by its position will enable us to absorb without disturbance all of the governmental forces of the world and thus form a super government. Here comes your world, new world order. And we must so direct the education of Gentile society that its hands will drop in the weakness of discouragement in the face of any undertaking where initiative is needed. Boy, if that isn't the truth in America today. Gentile society in the weakness of discouragement in the face of any undertaking where initiative is needed. Can you drop out of Social Security? Can you go back to the Ten Commandments? Can you give up the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto? Is there any initiative that's needed to accomplish these ends? Do you have what it takes to create the initiative to save yourself from the debacle of the New World Order? Then they go on, they're getting kind of cocky now. It says, when we become rulers, we shall regard as undesirable the existence of any religion except our own, proclaiming one God with whom our fate is tied as the chosen people. Hey, who are these chosen people? Boys and girls, can you figure that out? And by whom our fate has been made one with the fate of the world. For this reason, we must destroy all other religions. And if thereby should emerge contemporary atheists, then as a transition step, this will not interfere with our aims. A world coalition of Gentiles could cope with us temporarily, but we're assured against this by roots of dissension among them so deep that they cannot be torn out. We have created antagonism between the personal and national interests of the Gentiles by arousing religious and race hatreds, which we have nourished in their hearts for 20 centuries, 2,000 years. Race hatreds. You ever wonder where all this race hatred comes from? And then there's the administrators chosen by us from the masses, for their servility will not be persons trained for government, and consequently they will easily become pawns in our game, played by our learned and talented counselors, specialists, educated from early childhood to administer world affairs. As we know, our specialists have been acquiring the necessary knowledge for governing. Hey, this guy George Bush, do you think maybe he's a front, a shill? To prevent them from really thinking about anything themselves, we shall deflect their attention to amusements and games and pastimes and excitements in people's palaces. Does that sound like the Super Bowl and World Series? Such interests will distract their minds completely from questions on which we might be obliged to struggle with them. Boy, Americans know a lot about the Super Bowl and the World Series and our sports, but we haven't got a clue as to what's going on around the world. Because becoming less and less accustomed to independent thinking, people will express themselves in unison with us because we alone offer new lines of thought. Of course, through persons whom they do not consider as in any way connected with us. You know, like Tom Brokaw and Dan Rather and the 6 o'clock news. Now, in this divergence between the Gentiles and ourselves, inability to think and reason is to be seen clearly the seal of our election as the chosen people. As higher human beings, I guess they must have evolved higher, as higher human beings, in contrast with the Gentiles who have merely instinctive and animal minds. They observe, but they do not foresee, and they invent nothing except material things, and it's clear from this that nature herself, notice the feminine tense, nature herself predestined us to rule and guide the world. That's the elitists. And we shall handle the press and keep tight rein upon it. We shall do the same also with other printed matter. For of what use is it to rid ourselves of attacks in the press if we remain exposed to criticism through pamphlets and books? Yeah, boys and girls, they control the press. Here's the last one. Let us all recognize that we Jews are a distinct nationality of which every Jew, whatever his country, whatever his station, or shade of belief, is necessarily a member. That's a quotation from Louis D. Brandeis, Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. So don't jump off the deep end now and blame it all on the Jews. You want to remember that it's God Almighty Himself in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 says, I'm going to use these Jews. I'm going to use these communists. I'm going to use all these Democrats and Republicans. I'm going to use these people over here to destroy you. Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. And Social Security is right at the top of the list of the destructive mechanisms to destroy our nation, our economy, and our Western civilization. All right, we're out of time. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, and we'll be talking about more. It won't be Social Security, but we'll be talking about more about what goes on in the world around us. Now, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on our website, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, we're out of time. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.